everyone. Welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jim Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisville, Virginia. Today is Saturday, October the 5th of 2019. In this episode, Word Magazine 133, I want to discuss and call attention to the life and the thought of a German scholar named Etta Lenemann. She lived from 1926 to 2009. She was a credentialed scholar who studied in the German university system, had even studied with the famous Rudolf Bultmann, the existentialist theologian who had urged what he called demythologizing the New Testament. Modern man can't understand all the miracles and so forth, and the New Testament had to be translated into the language of modern human beings conceptually, and it had to be demythologized. Well, she studied all of this, was steeped in it, published in it, did a dissertation, and then did a second dissertation, which is typical in the German system, to gain a teaching position. She attained a prestigious academic post. But then she eventually rejected the modern historical critical method in which she had been trained as she was converted. She had done all this as an unbeliever, the academic study of religion, and then she became an evangelical believer and rejected the historical critical method. And Lenemann's life and work was called to my attention recently because someone posted a comment to my blog, and I moderate comments. And the comment was to a post back in 2012 that I had done on Etta Lenemann. And the commentator had asked, could you please recommend me some other writers like Etta? And I responded in the comments by giving this person a list of works that are along the same lines of someone trained in the historical critical method who rejects it. So the list I gave is a little bit different than the blog post. In the blog post, I didn't put them in chronological order, but here's a list for those of you who might be interested in reading this type of material. I suggested, first of all, E.F. Hill's book, Believing Bible Study, from 1967. Which I've got the original that's printing that's got the weird space age cover. And Hills, of course, was trained in text criticism. It's had a big influence in the critique of the modern text critical method. But a big part of the Believing Bible Study is giving a critique just of Enlightenment-influenced modern study of the Bible. And so that came out in 1967. Another that I listed was a work by another German scholar, a Lutheran scholar, Gerhard Meyer, who before Lenemann gave her critique of the modern historical critical method, Meyer had done so in a little essay, really, that was then expanded, I think, into a book type of booklet. And the English title was The End of the Historical Critical Method. The German original was in 1974, and then the English translation came out from Concordia Press in 1977. Then I said, what about reading an article, a well-known article by David Steinmetz, who taught at Duke University, and the article came out in the journal Theology Today in 1980. The title of it is The Superiority of Pre-Critical Exegesis. And this isn't about text criticism, but it's just calling attention to and challenging the idea that modern exegesis of the Bible is necessarily superior to ancient ways, traditional ways of reading, interpreting the Bible. So I recommended that article. Then on to a couple more modern works. In 2018, Craig A. Carter came out with a book titled Interpreting Scripture with the Great Tradition. subtitled Recovering the Genius of Pre-Modern Exegesis. And this book, very heavily critiques the Enlightenment and the influence it's had on the study of Scripture. Unfortunately, he never addresses the issue of text. I wish that he had. I think a lot of evangelicals get into this. They're very critical of the historical critical method with regard to, theology, soteriology, but it never comes around to it being applied to what Enlightenment influence thinking has done to the study of the texts of Scripture. But anyways, Carter's book is still worth reading. And then the last one I suggested is a very recent book. In fact, it just came out October of 2019. And I actually recommended it on my post back to this person before I'd actually had a chance to read it. Because I'd heard about it. And I actually got my copy in the mail this past week. And I've read about half of it. It's a short book. It's only a little over 100 pages. And it's by Robert W. Yarborough. It's titled Clash of Visions, subtitled Populism and Elitism in New Testament Theology. And we'll talk about Yarborough in a minute because he's been influential in translating a number of German scholars, their work, including Etta Lindemann, into English. And Yarborough is a professor of New Testament at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. Get started reading this book, and I'll probably come out with something more about it later, do a review of it later. But it's along the same lines of questioning, challenging the inroads of the modern historical critical method, particularly among evangelicals. Yarborough is definitely writing for evangelicals. I mentioned this just to say that I think one of the keys to recovering the confessional text in what I talked about in the Last Word magazine as the confessional text movement, I think one of the keys for doing this among otherwise conservative, evangelical, and reformed brethren must be leading them to question and challenge the influence and direction of Enlightenment-influenced modern historical critical methodology, including in the area of text criticism. And so, for this reason, I think it's helpful to recall the experience of Etta Lindemann, although she didn't really address text criticism per se. She addressed some other areas. So I thought maybe I would just go back and do a read-through of that 2012 blog post. I wrote this long before I ever started doing the podcast, and I still got some information I think that's useful in it. As always, on my blog, jeffriddle.net, I will have a post for this Word magazine, Word Magazine 133, and I will include a link to this blog post, which was done on Wednesday, September 12 of 2012, and it was titled Etta Lindemann's Rejection of the Historical Critical Method. And so let me just read this pretty short blog article to you. I wrote, again, this is in 2012, one of my pet projects this year has been reviewing and studying the rise of the historical critical method in biblical studies in the 19th and early 20th centuries. Along these lines, I have long been intrigued by the testimony of German New Testament scholar Etta Lindemann, again, who lived from 1926 to 2009, who was trained in higher criticism, studying with top scholars like Rudolf Bultmann, who later rejected it after experiencing an evangelical conversion. Lindemann went on to serve as a missionary in Indonesia and interject. I think she did some short-term mission classes in Indonesia. I think she ended up actually retiring from her university post and spent her retirement years as a convinced evangelical, and again was involved in this mission work in Indonesia. And she also wrote an insightful critique of the historical critical method in which she had been so steeped before her conversion. This critique first appeared in German as Wissenschaft oder Meinung in 1986. It was translated and published in English as Historical Criticism of the Bible, Methodology or Ideology. And that came out from Baker in 1990. And I would definitely encourage you, just as another aside, if you haven't read Lenneman's book and you're interested in this whole notion of confessional text, that it would be a very good book to read. Again, it doesn't address text criticism, but it is a critique of the historical critical method. In the introduction to this critique, Lenneman reviews some of her testimony, including how she began to be disillusioned by the historical critical method and its skeptical approach to scripture and faith. Though these were the beginnings of God's grace in her life, she notes the following, quote, "At first, however, what I realized led me into profound disillusionment. I reacted by drifting toward addictions which might dull my misery. I became enslaved to watching television and fell into an increasing state of alcohol dependence," end quote. Eventually, Lenneman states that God led her to vibrant Christians who knew Jesus personally as Lord and Savior. And by God's grace and love, she says, "I entrusted my life to Jesus." And then she notes how her life changed dramatically. She says, "My destructive addictions were replaced by a hunger and thirst for his word and for fellowship with Christians. I was able to recognize sin, clearly a sin, rather than merely make excuses for it as was my previous habit. I can still remember the delicious joy I felt when, for the first time, black was once more black and white was once more white. The two ceased to pool together as indistinguishable gray." And that's the end of that quote on page 118 of her book, Historical Criticism of the Bible, Methodology or Ideology. And I love that quotation. I've used that a number of times in preaching over the years, in talking about what it means to become a Christian and to come just intellectually to see that everything isn't that indistinguishable gray, that there are clear blacks and whites, wrong and right. Think about the moral law and the Ten Commandments and so forth. And I think that's just a powerful statement that she makes. And it applies to many things with regard to theology. You know, is everything just going to be up in the air and we can never determine anything comes to the text of Scripture? We're never going to know exactly what the Bible is. Everything's just going to be an indistinguishable gray. And anyway, I think it's a great quote. The post continues. Later, she faced a dilemma. Would I continue to control the Bible by my intellect, or would I allow my thinking to be transformed by the Holy Spirit? This led her to an unswerving commitment to the inspiration and authority of Scripture. She says, "I recognized first mentally, but then in a valid experiential way, that Holy Scripture is inspired." She also acknowledged that my former perverse teaching was sin. So this is amazing. This is somebody who's an academic scholar, German scholar, and she knows the Bible. She knows the languages. She knows the content of the Bible. But then as a mature adult, only as a mature adult does she come to understand that the Bible is inspired by God, that it's theopneustos, that it is God-breathed. In the powerful closing paragraph of this introduction, Lenneman concludes. She says, "That is why I say no to historical critical theology. I regard everything that I taught and wrote before I entrusted my life to Jesus as refuse." After reviewing her previous scholarly books and journal articles, Lenneman adds the following. She says, "Whatever of these writings I had in my possession, I threw into the trash with my own hands in 1978. I ask you sincerely to do the same with any of them you may have on your bookshelf." That's an amazing statement. You can imagine her taking all of her academic work in 1978 and throwing it in the dumpster, in the trash can. And she says, "If anything you wrote of, that you read of mine before I became a Christian in 1978, just pack up those dissertations and monographs and articles and put them in the circular filing cabinet and get rid of them. Amazing statement. It does remind you of Paul's statement in Philippians that, you know, all the things that he had attained as a pious Jew, he counted as refuse, as dung, compared to Christ. So in that blog article in 2012, I have a link to a transcript of a testimony that Lindemann gave in 2001 at an evangelical church in California. And I also have a link to a scholarly article written by her translator, Robert Yarborough. And this appeared in the Master's Seminary Journal. It was titled Etta Lindemann, Friend or Foe of Scholarship. It's a very good article. And if you're interested in learning more about Etta Lindemann, I would encourage you to read that article. Again, I've got a link to it there and follow that up. Particularly interesting in light of Yarborough's more recent work, again, the one that just came out in 2019 on A Clash of Visions. And you can see how Lindemann had an influence upon him and his thinking about how evangelicals have perhaps too easily embraced the modern historical critical method. Lindemann should be read with discernment, given that she apparently became involved with a charismatic, non-confessional church group. Still, her critique of historical critical methodology is invaluable. Later on in Lindemann's scholarly career, she turned her focus to one of the big issues in New Testament study among those who practice historical critical method, and that is what is known as the synoptic problem, trying to understand the literary relationship of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And she wrote another book, also translated by Yarborough into English. It was published by Baker in 1992. The title of that is There a Synoptic Problem? Question mark, subtitled Rethinking the Literary Dependence of the First Three Gospels. And so that's where she turned her focus in the remaining really years of her life, was working on that. I also in that 2012 article, I found at the time several lectures on YouTube in German by Etta Lindemann. My German is not the greatest, but at the time, 7 years ago now, I tried to listen to some of them at least, and I checked the links, and they're still working. So if you know German, you might enjoy listening if you just want to hear Etta Lindemann's voice. One is her story, her biography or autobiography. One of the lectures the English title would be What is the Foundation of Historical Critical Theology? And the last one is also very interesting. It's Who Wrote Hebrews? And so she questions the modern scholarly views on the authorship of Hebrews. And I did not listen to the entire thing, so I don't know. I'm guessing that maybe she is going to defend the traditional view of Pauline authorship, but I didn't listen all through it. I'm not sure that my German would be strong enough to understand exactly what she would say. But anyways, so you might enjoy listening to those if you have some facility with German. I was thinking about that book also that she wrote on the synoptic problem. I have a copy of that. And I think it's interesting that, again, she turned her focus to that issue. And, of course, the whole modern enterprise over the last 150 years or so of applying source criticism to the Gospels and rejecting, I think, the traditional view either of Matthean priority or that the Gospels are developed independently. And instead, the reigning view in the academy today, a view that's been embraced by many evangelicals teaching in our seminaries and Bible schools, has been the view of Markan priority. Mark was written first, and then positing Q, the hypothetical saying source Q, and then various other theories. Streeter came up with the four document hypothesis, so that Mark, Q, M, and L, the special Matthean source, the special Lucan source, was the solution to the synoptic problem. So she was looking at that, and not surprisingly, she rejects the modern historical critical approach, because I think she sees that ultimately it serves to undermine the historicity, the reliability, and the authority of the Gospels. And so I would commend that book to you. And I thought it might be interesting just to hear the epilogue to that book. This is on pages 209 and 202, again, of Linnemann's book, Is There a Synoptic Problem? So this is about two pages, if you can bear with me. I think you'll find what she has to say interesting. She says, by God's grace, I have been able to show in this book that historical critical theology's claim to be science, and she has that in quotation marks, so spellbounding for so many is unjustified. With the evidence advanced, I would like to throw open the door to freedom for those who have groped into a trap, urged along by the insistence that the results of this science, again in quotations, cannot be circumvented, that it offers the only alternative to regression into the naive, intellectually infantile realm of a long vanished pre-critical yesterday. My desire is to erect a warning sign. Caution! Exclamation mark. Trap! Exclamation mark. So others will not stumble into it too. This self-deluding philosophy does not deserve to be called science. No one need become subject to it. The prison door is open. The inmates can come out. But there is genuine freedom only in Jesus, in what he did on Golgotha to liberate us from sin and the power of the lie. It is not enough to repudiate historical critical theology, as salutary and justified as that may be. Without him, we are in danger of stepping right into the next trap we encounter. It is not my intention to point fingers at advocates of historical critical theology, though it has been necessary to mention a few of them by name. They are neither dumb nor incompetent. They are rather intelligent and respectable by human standards. Often they are even pious, but they are prisoners of a system. What happened to most of them continues to happen to many students today. They may be born again and want to serve the Lord by becoming pastors. Therefore, they study theology. In Germany, there are no accredited institutions of higher learning that uphold the trustworthiness of the Bible. So theological study descends inexorably into historical critical theology, the trap of a pseudoscience that leads away from the faith. Others have still never come to know Jesus personally as their Lord and Savior. As a rule, in fact, one seldom hears pastors proclaim anymore that people are lost sinners who can be saved only if they turn to Christ. And no wonder. They have been required by church authorities to be schooled in historical critical theology. As a result of this forced march through years of pseudoscientific study, pastors usually lack all missionary or evangelistic competence. The same forced march was made, however, by the church authorities themselves years ago. The desolation is total and comprehensive. But there is grace, there is redemption. A decisive conversion to Jesus breaks the bonds of historical critical theology. And yet an end should be made to this forced march and its ensnaring termination. Yes, we need state and church accredited institutes of higher learning that give Scripture and thereby Christ the high place they deserve. These closing words apply especially to the situation in Germany. For readers in Britain or America, where the situation with respect to Christian scholarship and education may not yet be quite so dire, may I urge that you preserve those colleges, seminaries, and other institutions that remain true? Watch over all the distinctives that make them strong in the faith, which was once for all delivered, she quotes Jude 3. You might need to change for refinement and growth, or mourning and repentance. But please change only out of obedience to Christ. Never allow changes simply because of pressure to keep up with scientific, again in quotations, standards of the modern age that are not truly scientific, for they are not true when measured by the standard of God's word. Be watchful and defend the holy faith that is once for all entrusted to the saints. And again, she quotes from Jude 3. And it's a wonderful challenge there at the end. I love the part where she says, you know, if you've been imprisoned by the historical critical method, you know, come out of the prison, come out. You don't have to be enslaved there any longer. Come on out into freedom, the freedom of a faithful interpretation of the Bible. Now it's interesting that Lenneman apparently, as far as I'm aware, never really turned her sights to the whole issue of text. I'd be curious to know what she thought about it. And maybe there's some writing out there in German that hasn't been published or translated into English. Again, she chose to turn her focus in the last years of her life toward issues related to the synoptic problem, which also was an area in which she had a lot of what her academic training was in. So she was uniquely positioned to offer an evangelical critique of it. But I wonder if given enough time, if she had enough time and she had turned to question text, I wonder whether or not she would not have become someone who would have been an advocate for the confessional text position. And many things that she said about the rejection of the historical critical method with regard to the synoptic problem, I think well might be applied to the whole area and issue of the text of the Bible. Well, I hope that this little survey of the life and thought of Etta Lenneman has been helpful. And perhaps in some future Word magazines, I might even review some of the other folk on the list that I had suggested on that blog comment post. I recently reread Gerhard Meyer's book, The End of the Historical Critical Method, and took some notes on that. And as I said, I'm in the midst of reading Robert Yarborough's very engaging little book, Clash of Visions. It's actually based on his Gein's lectures at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. So maybe we'll do a post on that book as well. Well, I hope this was encouraging and helpful, and hope you have been edified by it. And I will look forward to speaking to you in the next Word magazine. Till then, take care and God bless.